welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, it's now or never, folks. What's it going to be? It's your choice. I can't direct, you can't be forced into salvation. You cannot be forced into success. It's now or never. You either start putting your feet on the path of restoring the Constitution, restoring this nation, putting your feet on the path of success in your career and so forth, or you are basically going to let other people make these critical decisions for you. Bottom line. As you know, the show is also sponsored by republicreview.org. And as you know, this is the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. And we want to point out, at least I want to point out, if you're really ready to get disciplined, if you're ready to actually find the financial freedom that you deserve, you have to learn how to become disciplined. And if you can't do that on your own, if you haven't been able to do that so far, coaching is a very affordable way of doing this. So give Gary Smith with Fortitude Financial Coaching a call. He's right there out on our website on other links. It's one of the bottom buttons. And as a matter of fact, if you don't understand the importance of financial freedom, just start looking it up. I mean, there's a whole bunch of topics, books, and so forth that can help you realize how important it is. One of the things I learned a long, long time ago is a wise man earns interest, a fool pays it. And as a matter of fact, if you remember the show Mary Poppins, if anybody had ever seen that show, they kind of go into this little song tirade regarding banking and interest and keeping your money in a bank. Now, they're just talking about investing and interest, and that's what I'm just tying it to, not necessarily buying into the whole global banking scheme. But the reason banks are successful is they get people to invest in them. Now, you can become that successful entity that people invest in you, but you first have to be solid. You first have to be able to be stable. So anyway, Fortitude Financial Coaching, go check Gary Smith out. Give him a call and ask him, you know, what he would charge. Give him kind of an overview. I believe he provides like a certain free counseling up front so that he can kind of assess whether you're in a position where he can help you or whether you might be in a position where you need to probably look at going to a free credit type of assistance just to do, loan consolidations and those types of things as well. He will point you in the right direction. Anyway, we also have Timber Nation. We also have Ad Local. We also have ConstitutionEducation.us. And we also have RadioDustCovers.com that we highly endorse. If you're looking for products, if you're looking for services, we would recommend you to go down these paths. That simple, okay? And actually, after the new year, we will be having some – I'm going to force – if I have to drive to Michigan, I'm going to force a conversation with Ben Carr so that we can start talking about what's going on in Michigan, how he's working at the local level as well as providing the services, what he's doing with the company and so forth. And I know there's a lot of exciting things because we talked a little bit about it, and you need to understand that. So anyway, let's get back to setting these goals, because if we have time, if we have a little bit of time at the end of this episode, I'd like to actually take the few minutes that I might have left to talk about what we have witnessed of 2021. Do not forget, please let everybody know. And you want to make sure you tune in and get everybody else to tune in. And at a minimum, once we start, getting these things up and loaded, let everybody know. And usually we're about a week behind. It takes us about a week, or takes me, because I'm the only one doing all of this. I need your help. And that's why I say at the very end, I'm J.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic. We need your help. So if there's ways you can help, then let me know. Info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. But nevertheless, at the end of the week, we usually post these things. And so you usually over the weekend. So you should be able to find all of next week's podcast up and loaded onto the website at least by the following Monday, hopefully even before that. I'm here to tell you that you're going to want to take those links and share them with people so that they can actually listen to what we have to do if you want to get rid of the Biden administration in 2023. We have to be very clear. We have to be very succinct. We can no longer mix these myopic issues into saving our republic. I understand that abortion is a travesty. This sexually perverting children is an evil that we couldn't even imagine. We are looking at a time and a place where we have to put aside our special focuses and our myopic passions and actually unite and work together in helping everybody understand the Constitution and how the Constitution can solve all of these problems. And getting rid of Biden in 2023 is one of the things that we will be, not pontificating, but we will be professing. We're going to go through the numbers and everything else on the 3rd and moving forward. So you want to actually start getting more people engaged in the show. I know that there's lots of people talk about little solutions here, little solutions there. What we're talking about is a full strategy of how to create constitutional counties and how to take charge of our government and how to move us back to within the framework of the Constitution. And if you don't understand the Constitution, you can't get there. And there are plenty of entertainers out there that talk about these things. There's plenty of them that talk about them, and plenty of them tell you that they have solutions. But when you, at the end of the day, how is it that they get rid of all the unconstitutional government? There's only one way to do that. That's what Madison and Jefferson did, and that's what we call Republic Review. So anyway, creating goals. We left off at creating goals. You need to start looking at, you know, what type of goals you need to make. So goals based on core competencies is kind of important. Where are your core competencies? And we already kind of talked about this. Do you have shortfalls? What are your shortfalls? Do you know of any shortfalls? Are you honest enough to see that, oh, I may not be good at this, 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 and this? You need to find out what levels you may be needing to be functioning at so that you can, you know, aspire and actually obtain core competencies that, you know, merit and actually force your business's hand in promoting you. You know, hey, I'm performing at a much higher level, and if you don't, you know, if you don't hire me, or actually if you don't promote me and give me, you know, my compensation. What most people have learned this a long, long time ago. This was the trend in the 90s that I think still persists today. That when you make yourself more marketable, then basically the only way you're going to make a jump in the company is by jumping out of the company into that higher position that somebody else will give you. Companies have to recognize that either they start rewarding their individuals and keeping them, or they are going to continue to lose good talent because they do not treat their employees with the respect and the dignity that they deserve, period. It's that simple. So anyway, what we're looking at in creating these core competencies are things that are, you know, lower difficulty ratings that you are currently working. You're not working at that level you need to be at in a few ways. So one of those things is you need to create goals that'll help you, whether that be, you know, getting exposed to. Some of the things may not even be your fault because you don't get an opportunity because it doesn't come along that often. You know, you only get to fix the leak in the dam once, right? You know, you don't want that dam leaking all the time. And so, it may be one of those things that you just don't get a chance to really exercise. So you may have to talk to your manager. You may have to talk to your boss and say, hey, next time that comes along, I'd really like to get engaged. I only have the theoretical understanding of what to do, but I really want to be a part of that because I believe that that's something I could really gain, and I believe I can contribute as well. So anyway, those types of objectives, there's things that you want to keep in mind and why you are at a lower level, not necessarily always your fault, okay? And what we also want you to do is we want you to understand that by creating these competency goals, it helps you rise to the level and it helps you bring the perception to management and leadership that you are self-aware, you know what you're doing, and you know what you need to get and where you need to be so that they can promote you. It doesn't need to be a high percentage of effort since it's a lower difficulty, you know, if that makes sense. If it's a lower difficulty or a competency, a lower level competency, then it shouldn't be a lot of extra work. I mean, it's not like you're actually splitting the atom, okay, for the first time. Anyway, enhancement objectives. This is the area, or this is where you want to start improving your skills that, you know, you already are performing well, but can you do them faster? Can you do them better? Can you actually get jobs done quicker, be more efficient, and so forth? Further professional education might be a part of this. Further formal education, you know, professional being technical, formal being, you know, academia. And these would obviously be higher difficulty levels. So now you're talking about enhancement objectives, right? So moving forward, there's these other things that I believe everybody marginalizes, especially in the career force. And that happens to be the attribute objectives. And we're going to go through these again, and we're going to talk about these and how these actually helps bring either a spotlight or helps ring bells in your manager's ears when they start seeing these things. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so right now we've covered two competencies, or I should say two objectives for your goals, things that you need to actually do to help you move up the career ladder or what have you. So those would be your core competency, improving your core competencies to the appropriate level that you should be at already. Again, some of these things are not your fault. And as well as an enhancement objectives to actually move you well beyond. In other words, you're in those things that you're already doing really well at or even above average for your skill level, labor grade, what have you, then you want to do these enhancements. Some of these enhancements, like I said in our previous episode, could be an administrative enhancement. It could be an organizational enhancement. It could be a leadership enhancement. You know, a lot of people, they all of a sudden they start taking on the functional management role, and it opens their eyes to different things. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that it's something of your core competency. It is an enhancement. And so making those types of objectives, looking for that, you know, that functional leadership opportunities, those types of things. And your boss, your business, your corporation, leadership within it will recognize here's a person that is, you know, not just happy with coming to work. They want to get more. They want to contribute more. They want to become a leader in the team here at work, the team environment that they have. Anyway, attributes. Now you need to address these attributes. Are you productive enough? What are your shortfalls in your productivity? Can you improve your skills, your versatility? When I say versatility, do not forget that is really your willingness, not necessarily your skill versatility, but your willingness to be able to do things, to compromise and or actually sacrifice so that things can be done. So when the company has a crisis or a problem, can you be, we'll call him a hero. Can you be the hero to step up and say, I'm willing to not do something on Super Bowl weekend and fly off to a customer site and be able to do some work? And in so doing, people recognize that selflessness of that individual that is willing to do those things. Now, there's also the cooperation and teamwork, the communications, the process improvement, and the overall involvement in the team, involvement in the company. You know, the company has social affairs and so forth. Lots of people pass on those. They gaff those, especially in engineering, because the personal graces of most engineers usually kind of suck. I mean, everybody likes to have fun, but they don't necessarily like to have fun around the executives and those people, because if you want a stiff-collared, you know, uppity type of events, a lot of times, especially in these big global companies like I worked in, you know, a lot of them are snobs at the top level. A lot of them were snobs. And so they always look down at everybody else. And it's like they forgot where they came from. Anyway, and that's really common, but you need to go so you can see, learn, and understand. You kind of have to accept life is how it is, that, you know, these events, these functions, and these types of things are going to exist, they're going to persist, but how you interact with them is your decision, and how you actually, you know, can help shine light on you when you go. And, you know, if you don't create a bad perception, then that in itself is almost just as powerful as creating a good perception. Because bottom line, if they don't necessarily have any opinion, 9 times out of 10, engineers don't look at everything as bad. They look at everything objectively. And if they don't see bad, then they must think good. If that makes sense. Anyway, these attribute objectives, these can reinforce your previous objectives and how you can actually tie them into each other. If you start realizing that these objectives with these different aspects to them, you can create this web work or this interconnection of including attribute objectives, core competencies, and enhancement objectives together in the same objective. They don't have to be isolated. They can be inclusive, and how you can actually start doing that. Now, the next objective you need to create is what I call a trickle-down objective. These can and should reinforce your previous objectives, as well as these can and should actually reach to what I would call the corporate objectives. Like I said, if you understand that the company is moving in one discipline or moving down this path and saying, okay, this is where we're going to go, well, you can be the resistant one and the, you know, the flat part of the flat earth society and say, if we go down that path, then, you know, it's all over. But if you recognize that there's this golden opportunity, then you would start preparing yourself. And then so you would actually include in an objective, because your manager would see this, say, I'm going to be taking some, you know, night classes on Amazon Web Services. And they would, I mean, they're not rocket science. Some of them are rocket scientists, but the fact of the matter is when they start seeing those things, they see that you're attuned with where the company is going. And that will shine highly, highly upon you. And it will help them understand that you are a leading, you know, you're attuned and you're ready and willing to lead as well. So these trickle-down objectives, they can also reinforce some of your previous objectives, such as skills, like I just mentioned, obtaining new skills. So it could be an enhancement, but it's a specific enhancement that you are addressing that the company is pushing you down or the company is making this move, and you're making the enhancement at this point in time so that you'll be ready when the company's there to actually be possibly even a leader. And so that's a beautiful thing. Companies love that. So let's start summarizing. And here we are in the second segment of this episode. So we're wrapping up on these objectives. So it looks like we're going to get time if GR can just focus on getting through this without too much wording. The goal summary, one shortfall objective if necessary, maybe two. As many enhancement objectives as you feel you can obtain, 2 to 5 if possible. As many attribute objectives as you feel you can obtain. And again, if you can combine these all into the same objectives, then you don't have 20 objectives. You technically only have 2 to 5. As you start looking at these objectives, you want to tie as many of these objectives to those trickle-down objectives, okay? So this is literally just the objectives to get you, and remember, the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to become the president or the technical lead or a fellow. A fellow is an honorary position within engineering where you're recognized as, you know, a person that has profound domain knowledge, and you become, you know, the subject matter expert on very specific things. And believe me, I've become subject matter experts, but I've never become a fellow. So nevertheless, as you start looking at, you know, tying all of these objectives and working them into the trickle-down objectives, most of the enhancement objectives and attribute objectives should be tied to those trickle-down objectives. If you can do your shortfall objectives, then there you go. It's even better. But most of your enhancement and your attribute objectives should actually be tied towards your trickle-down objectives or the corporate and organizational objectives. All objectives, all of these little goals you're creating should be pointing you towards that ultimate goal, towards that ultimate position within your career. And again, this is really focused on the career, but there's no reason why you can't basically take this and transpose this upon, you know, your personal life, your financial health, your personal health, your spiritual health, your family health, and those types of things. As you start looking at, you know, identifying competencies, how competent are you as a parent? Do you have good communications? Or if you're lacking, you're not being a good parent if you're lacking in the communications category. You know, my children probably look at me as, you know, a parent that they didn't like as a child. But I believe as they've aged, they've recognized that because dad would lecture them, that was dad loving them. And they start, you know, realizing that having those communication skills are very, very important in parenting. They're very, very important in marriage. I mean, when you start looking at how all of these things in the professional world as well as your personal world, see, in the professional world, you can't get away with not communicating well. You get fired. But, you know, in the family, you know, they love you and they accept you. And they don't push you to improve. You have to do that. You have to improve. You have to force yourself to start contributing and making those changes necessary so that you can actually influence your family. You can influence, you know, those things that are important to you, your financial health and so forth. Your long-term strategy and goals should be your map. Now, the goals of the objectives that we just gave you or we just talked about, those are your short-term. This is a one-year objective scan, right? Or not scan, but layout. So this is a one-year layout of what you can do in 1 year to working towards that goal. In other words, this could be a 5-year, 10-year, 15-year strategy in obtaining what you need. So we'll get into more of that in the perspective of objectives right after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so when we just started this yesterday in our previous episode, what we were basically trying to convey is what you're doing in creating goals and creating these objectives. Because if you look at the battlefield of life, you have these engagements, these objectives, these battles that you have to win or, you know, overcome or avoid altogether so that you can be more successful getting to, you know, the land dominance or becoming the, you know, the king of the mountain, what have you. And so this is, you're charting a course. Now, if you chart a course, if you take the time to sit down and chart a course, and that's all you do, then you just wasted your time. And I'm telling you that if you actually look at this course and you live the course, then you will find how much easier it is to getting many of these objectives taken care of, and you'll be able to look back and find in your wake a path to success. Because you will be getting to where you need to be. But you have to be the willing participant in acting out that course that you have created. there comes a time, love, what have you, that all of a sudden changes that to making you just a suitable employee instead of a go-getter and a person that wants, you know, more responsibility and more opportunity within the company. There's nothing wrong with either path. There's nothing wrong with either path. If you desire to be successful, you have to act to be successful in your career. You can be successful in your family. You can be successful in your career. You do not have to sacrifice. You can make all the excuses in the world. And that's all they are excuses. Because in reality, life doesn't require you to compromise. Life doesn't require you to, you know, become marginal or marginalize life itself. Those are personal choices, and that you have to be the one to decide if that's okay, then that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We need people to actually, you know, fill sandbags. We need people to do, you know, if you want to call it menial work or the basic work, it could be important work. When I talk about a janitor, and most people, you know, when they hear, we're going to talk about the janitor, so we're talking about a really menial task. I'm telling you that if you have a good janitor and they do a good job, they're keeping the company healthy because they're helping sanitize the company during the off hours so that germs do not just prevail. Believe me, I've seen it, and I've been infected in the Marine Corps when we've had to travel, and we see how institutions where they just, I'm just surprised that the buildings can even stand up in some of these places we've gone because of the decay and the lack of care and the lack of proper maintenance. So don't marginalize what it is you think you're doing. Everything that is being done can contribute. Just want you to know that. So again, you're looking here now at creating a long-term strategy. Your company wants you to create an annual strategy. They don't necessarily want to teach you and tell you how you can actually, you know, seize the mountain, seize the day, and take, not necessarily charge, but take the helm as a leader in helping the company go to the next level. Your corporation, company, business, or employer's goals should be an overlay to your map. In other words, their goals and objectives should align and be an overlay to make sure that you are, you know, going down the right path, because you may find yourself outside that company if you're going in the opposite direction or you're going, you know, in the wrong direction. Your spiritual goals should be an overlay to your map. Your yearly goals and objectives should be your plan of attack for the next few months or the next year or a couple of years. Like if you're going in for a degree, that's something you can't do in 1 year. There's just no way. But you can get it done in 2 to 4 years or however long it takes because you're doing it part-time. Variances will occur. Plans never go as planned. So the question is, when variances occur, you must quickly address and adjust for them. It's really that simple. So as we move on, and I talked about Peter Drucker's smarts, now that we understand that you've created these goals, you've created this map, you have these overlays that sit on this map, you need to make sure that you have SMART goals, S-M-A-R-T. This is the standard that Peter Drucker created a long, long time ago, and it's sufficient even for today. Yeah, there's lots of people that have created different spins and created, and some people love, you know, these new age, you know, regurgitations, forgive the expression, but a regurgitation of what Peter Drucker did. Bottom line, the S in SMART stands for specific. You need to describe the observable action or the end state, which can be seen when the performance objective has been achieved. In other words, what specifically is to be accomplished? What is it that you are supposed to do in this objective? And so being specific helps you clarify so that you can, at the end of the year, you can tell your employer, your boss, your manager, your leader, that got done and this is how it got done. It needs to be measurable. That's what the M in SMART stands for, measurable. It needs to be quantifiable criteria. It needs to be met by quantifiable criteria for evaluating the accomplishment of the objective. In other words, how much? How much did you need to get done? Did you get your full semester done, or did you get a full year done in your college education? Determine the methods, timing, and tools used to arrive at the measurement, but it must be measurable in whatever that objective is. Achievable. So, you know, when you put down your degree, you want to be specific. And that measurable part is I want to at least get one semester this year. If you get two, then that's gravy. You exceeded expectations. But at least put it down to what you believe is reasonable, because you need to obtain these. If you're being successful in your objectives and the manager looks at your objectives and goes, it's not like you're sandbagging. I mean, you got 1 year in, you did all of these other things. You know, my hat's off to you. You're burning the extra hours even outside of work to be, you know, to be a contributor, to help grow this company and this company's capabilities. Achievable. The A in SMART means that they have to be achievable. This describes a result that both the supervisor and the employee can feel that can be realistically achieved. In other words, when you create this, if it's achievable, then you both will recognize that this is something you can do, even though the objective may be challenging. Now, achievable, I'll give you a good example. You can, let's say you wanted to stack a bunch of chairs. Well, if your room is only 8 feet high, you can't stack 100 chairs. It can't be achievable. There are limits to the height that you can stack these chairs in that room. And so you have to be able to make sure, and I know that's not necessarily a really direct result, or I should say correlating, but it's just a metaphor, folks. And you have to start looking at, you know, is it something you can achieve? Are there some limits, theoretical limits, actual limits, that will keep you from being able to achieve this? Then if so, you don't want to actually put it in that perspective. You need to make it so that it is achievable. So again, that's what the A in SMART stands for. The R in SMART is relevant, directly aligned to the business, your professional career, these objectives for the organizations and so forth. They need to see the relevance of what your objective is to the business itself. Remember, I talked about the employee that was going down the path of taking time in being a fashion designer. That's nice to know, but you know, that's not something you want to tell me, because bottom line, I understand that you're kind of creating a conflict in your life. That's what you're doing. And that's okay. I don't want to know about it. As long as you're getting your work done, that's okay. But it'll become obvious that if you're not getting your skills and you're not preparing to, you know, move in the directions of the ebb and flow of technology, and as the company needs to get this work done, then okay, so be it. Anyway, the R in SMART is relevant, and the T is time bound. The time bound indicates the time, the schedule, or deadline for achieving the performance objective. In other words, by when, at what point in time should this objective be accomplished? That you can actually say, you know, cross that out and say, I'm done. Okay? So, one of the things that I like to do is I like to go over these cheesy cliches that I heard my parents tell me, and I've heard other people say these things. These are worth having written down. Inch by inch, life's a cinch. Yard by yard, life is hard. Seeing is believing, so focus is the act of seeing, and persistence is the act of believing. And the one thing that separates the chumps from the trumps is focus and persistence. And so we'll be right back with some summarizing and then going into summarizing the year.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we're in the last segment. And so the last thing I really need to impart on you, because we kind of covered some cheesy cliches that perfectly fit within the going to break, but you need to understand that just doing the objectives, writing them down, is a waste of time unless you work on actualizing them. What does that mean? You have to visualize. You have to see these things. You have to actually spend time massaging and working so that you can actually start creating visual aids. Because bottom line, you write these goals down, you put them in your computer and you file them away, and then you go off to work and you do this, you start working on your tasks. By 6 months go by, after, you know, 6 months, a month, even if the whole year, if you've only written them down and put them in your folder and given them to your boss to say, this is what I'm going to do this year, well, I'm going to tell you that you're just going to be a disappointment, because you're not going to get most of those things done. How many people, you know, are so good with their memory that they, you know, keep, I'm bad with names. But I at least, you know, understand my schedules. And if I need help, I actually use technology to remind me. I have alarms when I have to broadcast. I have notifications that remind me I've got a meeting coming up. I use technology because we're constantly being interrupted. And if we're not helping something keep us on the tracks, it's easy to get off the track. So how can you be more focused on your objectives? Well, by just writing them down and filing them doesn't do it. What you need to do is you need to either create a title, you need to create a bullet, or you need to create an image for each of your objectives. That way, that image you can cut out, you can actually print out, and you can put that bullet, your title, or image around your desk, around your office, around your personal life at home, right there on your fridge, right there on your bathroom mirror. when you start seeing these images, oh, this is an objective that I have, it helps you focus on those things. So instead of taking an extended lunch with, you know, the office mates, when you, you know, have an opportunity to actually get something done on your objectives, that reminds you to say, you know what, I've got to get some other things done maybe next week. And because you have these opportunities to get something done when you couldn't do it at any other point in time. My point is that if you're not focused, that's kind of what goes hand in hand with that cheesy cliche regarding persistence and focus. Focus and persistence. You cannot be successful unless you're focused and you're persistent. And doing these printouts, put them on your rearview mirror in your car. Put them where you are on a daily basis in places that you will, it'll help you see and visualize. And when people ask you, well, what's that image mean? What does that fish there mean? Because it means something to you that triggers you to help you remember why and what you need to do and why. So this is one of the most powerful things that you can do to being successful. Because now you're actually engaging and you're telling yourself, this is so important, you need to remember this. I don't know how many of you, many guys, probably most guys that have listened to this show, have possibly forgotten an important date. And boy, did they wish they would have had something that would have reminded them. Like the first time you forgot your anniversary. The first time you forgot, you know, your wife's birthday or one of your children's birthdays or some event that's coming up. Don't you regret those things? Yeah, you do. And as a matter of fact, you take a good lashing for it, a tongue lashing, whatever. And so why wouldn't you use the same tools to help you remember those important personal things as well as those things that you've already identified on your chart as the things that you need to execute on, you need to accomplish to get you to that goal. That's how important it is. And so if you want to be successful, you have to be focused and persistent because that's the only way to get work done, to move down that trail. You can't drive down the road unless you're focused and persistent. Yeah, it's easy to get sidetracked. Next thing you're off the road and you've gone nowhere all year because you got sidetracked, interrupted, and nobody cares about your success. I'm telling you, nobody really cares. If you have a true leader in your life, then you do care. And I believe Gary Smith would be a real leader in your coaching. You need people like that that really do care. And 9 times out of 10, very few people in your life really care. But if you explain this to your spouse, if you explain this to your family, you'll probably find that they care enough that they'll support you. They'll help you. That's what, you know, you can count on from your loved ones, from good friends. A good friend builds and helps somebody. If somebody's tearing you down, if somebody's asking you to go drinking with them, you know, and going to strip clubs and that type of behavior, that's not a good friend. A good friend would tell that person, hey, that's destructive behavior. Why would you do that? Why would you put yourself in a position where you might compromise your marriage, where you are already compromising your morals by going there? You see my point? So what we want to do, because if nobody's going to do it for you, you have to do it. Then you can start explaining. And guess what? As you start explaining, you help others become successful. And that is the key. And that is true leadership, because leadership is one, putting aside what's best for GR and helping somebody for what's best for them. And so, Happy New Year. And let's take a quick look at what we've had to experience. I want to really start off, and we're going to cover this in detail, not all the detail, but we'll get into it later on, of how this year started off. We had a petition at the end of last year, and that petition got delivered at the beginning of the year. We exercised our First Amendment rights and helped and got your help to do that. And I want to thank you, because we actually paved the foundation. We laid the foundation for being able to do something more, because we use the Constitution by using First Amendment petitions to demand that Congress do their job, to that they fulfill their oath of office in going after the Electoral College and rejecting the unconstitutional Electoral College. This is going to be the brunt. That right there is going to be the brunt of next year's focus. On January 3rd, we're diving into this and how this set the stage. In addition to that, we're going to delve into a lot of other things. But as we look at this year, as soon as Biden took office, they have done nothing but taken our liberties. And now they want to compel us. They believe that they can compel us to do anything and everything. I would fight to my death to defend mine and your liberties. And that's what we have to do. We actually have to take that stand. We actually have to go for the high ground. So some of the things that we've accomplished over the years and some of the things that we've looked at over this past year, I believe has helped set the argument, helped galvanize why we need to do these very specific things. Why it is critical that we start getting organized at the county. Everybody that listens to this show, I take my hat off to you, because you are listening and you're getting exposed and you're learning. I may not be the best entertainer and I may not be the best professor, the best articulator. I am just a man that has all sorts of shortcomings. But I do know certain things, and I hope that what I do know I can impart with you, that you can go higher up this mountain, that we can all succeed in preserving this Constitution for our posterity's sake. So we've seen the hand of tyranny. We have seen how states have leveled. We need the states to actually start stepping up. And I just want to show one example, what Washington State has done by basically firing all of these people that worked in the Department of Transportation for the state of Washington in road plowing and throughput for the ports and so forth. They've taken people that should be able to work, that were not in any danger or anything else, but because it was, it was the process, they were doing things that they wanted to establish as a policy and a process. It has harmed other states. The commerce of other states coming through the passes and so forth has cost companies more money because of these decisions that the governor has made. I would love to see other states start to sue Washington because they're not allowing coal to be shipped. They're not allowing certain things to come through. Washington State does not have that sovereignty. There's this thing called the Commerce Clause that all states must actually cooperate regarding commerce. And unfortunately, our federal government is allowing these states to get away with this type of extortion and with this type of hostile activity. We are seeing nothing but hostility from government. And as the progressives obtain more and more ground within our government, that hostility will grow. It will become a death nail that will actually end up sealing our demise if we don't do anything. This is why all shows moving forward, my friends, will begin with "It's now or never," because you cannot expect to actually be able to stand up at the very last second when they drive that nail in. By that time, it is too late. I hope you had a great year. I hope you have a great new year. And I hope you help grow the message in getting many people to start hearing what we can do and what we have been presented with by the divine hand of providence at this point in time in this nation's history. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government.
This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.